friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off once again with the National Basketball Association playoffs. The Denver Nuggets will host the Los Angeles Lakers later Tuesday night in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. It's a rematch of the 2020 West Finals, which the Lakers won in 5 games. The Lakers have boasted the top defense in the playoffs, and they'll now face the top-seeded Nuggets and their top-ranked offense, led by 2-time league MVP Nikola Jokic. After eliminating the Phoenix Suns in the last playoff round, Denver's head coach, Michael Malone, said his team has bigger goals than the Western Conference Finals.
We had the right mindset coming into the game and for 48 minutes throughout the game, and that shows maturity, and very proud of our group. Our goals, we weren't satisfied winning the first round. We're not satisfied now. Our goals are much bigger than getting to the Western Conference Finals, but we're definitely heading in the right direction.
To get to their first NBA Finals, the Nuggets will have to get past LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers have won 17 NBA titles, tying them with the Boston Celtics for the most championships in league history. The Celtics will host the Miami Heat in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals on Wednesday night. Getting back to LeBron James, in February, LeBron became the NBA's all-time scoring leader, breaking the mark previously held by former Laker Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, let's listen to LeBron's reaction after he became the NBA scoring king.
I never, ever talked about being an all-time scorer in NBA history. It's never even been a thought of mine until I start seeing my numbers get closer and closer. I was like, oh, wow.
Oh, wow. LeBron broke a scoring mark that had stood for nearly 40 years. He passed the previous record set by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar by scoring 38 points in a 133-130 loss to the visiting Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, Kareem's signature shot was the sky hook, but LeBron broke his record on a turnaround fadeaway jump shot with about 11 seconds left in the third quarter in Los Angeles.
I know a lot of people wanted me to go to the sky hook to break the record or one of my signature dunks. But my fadeaway is a signature play as well. And I was able to get it and it touched nothing but the bottom of the net.
Nothing but net. LeBron says it was just an incredible feeling after he made his record-breaking shot.
Tonight I actually felt like I was like sitting on top of the arena tonight when that shot went in and the roar from the crowd. I'm not sure if I would be able to feel that feeling again.
Meanwhile, the feeling among Lakers fans was one of excitement and anticipation during LeBron's record-breaking pursuit. Just a few hours before tip-off, 2 courtside seats were listed on Ticketmaster for $75,000 each. Yes, you had to be a high roller or a big spender to watch LeBron. Meanwhile, LeBron talks about the pressure he felt during his record-breaking campaign.
Didn't press myself. Didn't, you know, overexude too much energy. You know, when it comes to, you know, the record, I felt pretty good. I felt in a good rhythm. And once I get in a good rhythm, then I feel like I make any shot on the floor.
LeBron hugged the previous record holder, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who came out onto the floor after the record-breaking shot. In a statement, Kareem said, and I quote, "LeBron's career is one of someone who planned to dominate this game. He had the size and the talent to step right into the NBA, and he immediately had his effect. It's gone on for 20 years now. He has that indefinable essence that you call leadership that people want to get behind him." Kareem Abdul-Jabbar saluting LeBron James. With more on LeBron James and his record-breaking career, here's the AP's Norman Hall.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar overtook Wilt Chamberlain's scoring record in 1984. But later that year, the man who would surpass Jabbar was born in Akron, Ohio. LeBron James went from prep school to the pros at 19. James would play 11 years in Cleveland with a four-year break in Miami, where he impressed coach Eric Spoelstra with his work in games and practice.
He doesn't get bored with that process. You know, you can tell he's like a computer.
Laker coach Darvin Ham says James still works hard at being a complete player at age 38.
He's just a kid who's grown before our eyes in the last 20 years at this level, has done nothing but play the right way and make the play that's in front of him.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says James breaking the record is impressive because of his style of play.
I think it makes it that much more special that that he'd rather be known for his assists than his baskets.
James's achievements include four NBA championships and two Olympic gold medals. I'm Norman Hall.
Thanks, Norman. I mentioned Kareem Abdul-Jabbar being courtside in Los Angeles. Other celebrities who were in attendance were the actor Denzel Washington, rapper Jay-Z, and boxer Floyd Mayweather. And LeBron's family was also there for the big occasion. LeBron's mother, Gloria, was in Los Angeles. LeBron's wife, Savannah, and let's not forget their three children, Bronny, Bryce, and Jury. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Kigali, we are here for the BAL Finals. For the best of African basketball. The Sahara and Nile Conference delivered their verdict. The top eight teams on the continent are chasing the Holy Grail. Who will be the next BAL champion? It's game time.
It's game time, Kigali. The Men's Basketball Africa League playoffs tip off Saturday, May 20th in Kigali, Rwanda. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, basketball analyst Queen John Mosef says the BAL playoffs will be very competitive.
I totally agree that this BAL playoffs in Kigali will be more competitive than previous seasons. Looking at how the SARA conference and the NAL conference went down, the competition, especially in the SARA conference, was close till the last day before the teams that made it to the playoffs were determined aside Reg who sealed their spot in the playoffs. So, but you look at it this year, new teams are hungry to play. Coaches have done their homework pretty well. Recruitment really done. Players across Europe in the US now attracted to the BAL, just like we saw in with the Cape Town Tigers when Zaire Wade playing for the Cape Town Tigers. So this is what you'll get. So year in, year out, we are seeing better competition and the high level of basketball. So I agree that the playoffs in Kigali will be more competitive.
You covered the Sahara Conference games. Do you think teams from that group can cause upset at the Men's Basketball Africa League playoffs?
Yeah, privilege covering the Sahara Conference. And I would say with the teams I saw in the Sahara Conference in Dakar, They can cause more than upsets. More than upset, they can go all the way. If I want to start with the Stade Malien boys, youth, athletic side, and hungry for victory, playing their media edition, but they are here to make a name and make a statement. They've been consistent. Or you want to talk about ABC, Abidjan Basket, coached by the famous and, will I say, the capable and wonderful coach Les Mills. So you look at these teams, these are sort of teams that would, on any day, give any of the teams from the Sahara Conference, or from the NAR Conference rather, a tough fight. So I expect them. There could be an upset. It's nothing you can rule out. It's very, very possible.
Quinn, as a basketball analyst, which two teams do you tip to play for the Ball Season 3 title?
Wow, tough question. I would say tough question because this season is really, really close. Compared to last season where I could tip US Monastir or Petro de Luanda to win it. But this season is really close, and that's the competition we are talking about. The competition this year is very, very high. It's high level of basketball being played this year, both from coaches' angle and the players as well. So, but if I look on paper, I would say Petro Al Ahly. They gave us a wonderful game in Cairo that looks more like a final away from the final. So on paper, it looks like both of them go all the way. So, but realistically, any team can go all the way to the final. But I think the first port of call is going to be that game between ABC and Petro. I would want to see how ABC would want to face off with Petro de Luanda. Yeah, Petro de Luanda are hungry to go all the way and also win it, considering how they started off from the first season, second season, from semifinals to final last year, and now they want to win it. So Coach Liz Mills also is a team, or will I say, is a coach that breaks records. She likes going for the record, and being the only woman coaching in the BAL, I wouldn't want to support her less. I would want her to go all the way. So, but on paper, you say Petro Al Ahly.
That's Queen John Mosef, a basketball analyst, and she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Cote d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen to Coach Mills and her thoughts on future BAL growth.
I definitely see the league expanding over the next couple of years. I think it would be a great way for more countries to be involved in the league, as well as open the league up to more fans. I do know that, you know, in the original version of the league, we were traveling home and away, and, you know, like with most leagues around the world, BAL had to adapt due to COVID. I think eventually, though, you know, 5, 6, 10 years down the line, we'll see the league played more like the NBA league in home and away, multiple clubs participating, and definitely expanding beyond the 12 teams that currently play in the league. I do hope that we see this as a way to also help improve basketball on the continent. More countries mean that we see more investment, but also we see improvement on a playing level as well as coaching level. So there's so many benefits to the league expanding. And I think the important thing is not to expand too soon. And you want to make sure that the league that we're developing right now has the capabilities of expanding that at that level. And I know we'll see that soon, but it's important to really focus on what we're doing right now and making it the best possible league for the teams that are participating in it at the moment.
Coach, the BAL has been promoting gender equity initiatives. As the only female head coach in the league, which initiatives do you like?
The BAL has multiple social responsibility initiatives, which I love. One of them is Threes for Trees, which I participated in last year with my former team, where we were actually one of the highest scoring three-point teams in the league, and we got to plant a lot of trees when we went to Kigali, Rwanda. And obviously one that's very close to my heart is the BAL for Her program, which is a great initiative promoting women across all aspects of basketball. And I think this really is where the BAL is leading the way. As a female participating in the league, even though I'm the only female coach, there are women throughout the organization. You know, we have female referees, we have female game commissioners, we have female officials on the sidelines. We have female cameramen, we have female commentators, we have females in all aspects of the BAL operations. And so you never feel alone. Even though it is a men's league, there is the presence of women everywhere across the league. And I'd say it's probably the only men's professional league in the world where that is the case. And so BAL is really leading the way in terms of gender equality. I do hope, though, in the future we do see some more female coaches. That would be amazing. And even last year, Coach Caddy from Dakar University was an assistant coach for the Senegalese club team. So in the future, I hope to see more coaches. But I do know that the league is looking to promote this as well. And I have no doubt that I will be one of many in the next couple of years.
Like you, Coach, I grew up playing multiple sports. What was the spark that ignited your passion for coaching?
I was really lucky to grow up in Sydney, Australia, with my twin sister, where our parents encouraged us to play multiple sports. There's plenty of research out there that talks to the advantage of playing multiple sports before you decide on a specific discipline. And I always encourage the athletes that I work with when I was working with juniors to play multiple sports and not get too specific too early. And so my sister and I actually started our sporting careers as netball players. And it was only when we were about 10 years old that we stumbled across basketball. It was the Women's National Basketball League in Australia. And at the time, it was really, it had great female basketball players in Lauren Jackson and Penny Taylor, who went on to have amazing WNBA careers, as well as having so many female head coaches, which was rare in the 90s and early 2000s. And Coach Carrie Graff in particular was coaching one of the WNBL teams. And when I saw her marching up and down the sidelines, she was a successful, strong, intelligent woman. And as a 10-year-old, that left a deep impression on me. It's probably the reason why I ended up becoming a coach, because it planted a seed early on that as a woman, I could be a leader and I could be successful. And so I think without doubt, if as a 10-year-old I hadn't have turned on that TV and seen that visible female role model, I probably might not have ended up as a coach. So this is why even now in my career, I try to be as visible as possible, because you never know who you're inspiring by just doing what you're doing.
Are there other basketball coaches who inspire you and who you really admire?
I've been inspired by a number of coaches throughout my career. But fundamentally, first and foremost, Coach Carrie Graff has had the biggest impact. Without seeing her be so successful in the WNBL and WNBA, I probably never would have thought about being a coach. And so this speaks to having a visible female role model to look up to. And then I would say one of my biggest mentors has been Rex Nottage in Sydney, Australia. I met him when I came back to Australia in 2013 to do my master's in coaching degree, and he was part of the program, and he had a wealth of knowledge coaching all around the world. And in terms of my technical abilities, I learned the most under him. But overall, I would say a coach that I deeply admire is Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs. He embodies everything that I think is really important in a coach, placing the player-coach role relationship as basically the foundation of coaching. And I know that hopefully one day I would have as big an impact as he has had on the basketball world. And he's someone that I deeply admire and hope that my career replicates a tiny bit of what he has achieved.
Liz Mills is the head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club, and she spoke with me from Abidjan, Ivory Coast. Coach Mills and the ABC Fighters will play Petro de Luanda of Angola May 21st in a quarterfinal matchup in the Basketball Africa League playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. And check out some of the other VOA programs at voaafrica.com. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to American Joan Benoit Samuelson, who was the first women's Olympic marathon champion. Joan won the gold medal at the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, California, where she clocked a winning time of 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 52 seconds. Samuelson is celebrating her 66th birthday on this Tuesday. She also won Boston Marathon women's titles in 1979 and 1983, as well as the Chicago Marathon women's title in 1985. Joan Benoit Samuelson was born in Cape Elizabeth, Maine, where she founded the Beach to Beacon 10-kilometer race in 1998. Happy 66th birthday to Joan Benoit Samuelson, the first women's Olympic marathon champion.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Africa's fastest man, Ferdinand Omanyala, will test his speed at the Florence Diamond League meet in Italy on June 2nd. Omanyala is confirmed for the Florence Athletics competition, as well as another top Kenyan athlete, Faith Kipyegon, a 2-time Olympic champion and 2-time world champion at the 1500-meter distance. Omanyala retained his 100-meter title over the weekend at the Kipkano Classic meet in Nairobi, where he clocked a world-leading time of 9.84 seconds. Omanyala's African 100-meter record, set at the same meet in Nairobi in 2021, is 9.77 seconds. Omanyala should be tested in Florence. Olympic 100-meter champion Marcel Jacobs of Italy will also be on the track. He's one of 15 Olympic champions confirmed for the Florence meet. More professional basketball news. 7 feet, 4-inch tall French phenom Victor Wembanyama will surely be the top pick in the NBA draft on June 22nd. On Tuesday night in Chicago, the NBA will hold its draft lottery to determine the lucky team that will get him. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh tells us more.
The Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes is about to have a winner. The NBA draft lottery is Tuesday night in Chicago, and 14 teams will hope that the ping pong balls will bounce their way, giving them the number one pick this year and the chance to draft Wembanyama. The Detroit Pistons, Houston Rockets, and San Antonio Spurs all have the best chance of winning the lottery and getting the number one pick, 14% or about 7-1 odds. The 19-year-old Wembanyama averaged 21.4 points points, 9.9 rebounds, and 3.1 blocks in 29 games for his French LNB Pro A League team this season. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
Thanks, Geffen. With just over 2 months until the kickoff in New Zealand and Australia, the FIFA Women's World Cup trophy visited London on Sunday. The British capital was part of the trophy's world tour. Former England women's team goalkeeper Carly Telford was on hand as fans posed for photos at Wembley Stadium ahead of the women's FA Cup final. Chelsea defeated Manchester United 1-0 with the Australian Sam Kerr scoring in the 68th minute. A record crowd of 77,390 attended the match at Wembley, setting a new world record for attendance at a match in a domestic women's competition. I think it's also a good sign that we're going to see big crowds at the Women's World Cup, which kicks off on July 20th. Let's review the groupings for the Women's World Cup. Group A has New Zealand, Norway, the Philippines, and Switzerland. Group B has Australia, Ireland, Nigeria, and Canada. In Group C, it's Spain, Costa Rica, Zambia, and Japan. In Group D, it's England, Haiti, Denmark, and China. The USA, bidding for an unprecedented third consecutive world title, tops Group E. Also in this group are Vietnam, the Netherlands, and Portugal. Group F has France, Jamaica, Brazil, and Panama. Group G has Sweden, South Africa, Italy, and Argentina. And Group H has Germany, Morocco, Colombia, and South Korea. Among the four participating African teams, let's give a Sunnyside of Sports shout-out for the teams from Morocco and Zambia, which are making their debuts at the Women's World Cup. In the opening Women's World Cup match on July 20th, New Zealand will host Norway at Eden Park in Auckland. And the final will be played August 20th at the Sydney Olympic Stadium in Australia.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Finally, in English Premier League football, Liverpool scored a 3-0 road victory over Leicester City Monday to keep alive its chances of finishing in the top four. Curtis Jones had 2 goals for Liverpool, and Trent Alexander-Arnold added the third in the 71st minute. It was Liverpool's 7th consecutive win, and it moves the 5th-place team a point behind both Newcastle and Manchester United in the race for the final 2 Champions League qualification positions behind Manchester City and Arsenal. Leicester, meanwhile, is in next to last place and 2 points from safety with 2 matches remaining. The team is trying to avoid relegation 7 years after winning the league title. And that wraps up the May 16th edition of the show.
I get it.
Thank you for tuning in. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.